Welcome back to Keeping Carlson Short Shifts. I am Ben Burnett, and joining me as always, my friend and yours, Louis Ezekiel. Louis, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. You know, I'm kind of existing in that sense of existential dread when Yahoo is not recording stats, where you're not exactly sure what is real and what is not. I'm getting the urge to pull out my pen and paper and keep track of everything by hand here. So it's nice to have the show to distract me for a little while from trying to do a lot of mental math, which is not my forte.
Yeah, as people may guess from what you're saying there, we are recording this Tuesday evening. Most of the early games have just hit the second intermission, and so we do have quite a few news and notes, I would say, based on that new information from those games. And let's get right into it, I guess. The biggest story today, I have to say, would have to be in Carolina, where the Hurricanes and Predators game was canceled. I actually don't know who the home team was. Looks like it was in Nashville, but canceled because the Canes got COVID. Sarah Sivian reporting that three players on the Hurricanes have COVID-19. Louis, doing this show in the middle of a pandemic was always a little bit weird, but I don't know, in the back of your mind, you kind of just hope that we don't actually have to get into it. But at some point, we do have to, you know, consider the fact that this horrible pandemic that's been a disaster across the world does have an impact on this silly little game that we play. And so obviously, everything that we say is it's understood that the most important thing is that we hope for the best for the family and the families and all the people in the Canes organization, and we just hope that everybody recovers safely, of course.
Yes, obviously, number one in our thoughts, first and foremost, is hoping for the safety of the players and the staff and the families. But we are also a fantasy hockey podcast, so inevitably we're going to have to spend time this season talking about how it affects your fantasy roster. So given that our number one concern is with health and safety, we are going to do some discussion about how it affects your fantasy hockey team.
And I think my first thought when it comes to the effect of COVID on this season is that there are going to be invisible effects that we do not know how to describe. I remember coming out of the bubble after St. Louis in the preseason, or between the ending of the 2020 season and the return to play in the bubble. I remember hearing that St. Louis was feeling a lot of the after effects of players who had been sick. They were no longer in peak physical condition just because a few of them had gotten sick. And I think that that's inevitably going to happen to some players. And so it's just going to be really hard to say, like, some we don't know enough about this virus's long-term effects. And it's so inconsistent that it's going to affect our teams in ways that we don't necessarily recognize.
So obviously our immediate effect here is that we lost at least temporarily, the Nashville and Carolina game that was happening tonight. They also have games lined up later in the week against Florida. So Ben, what do we do with our Carolina and Florida players who might be kind of on the edge of roster ability, knowing that they're going to be missing, you know, a chunk of action here over the next week or two?
Well, but that's the thing, right? We don't know for sure that they're going to be missing extra time. We are recording this Tuesday night, as I mentioned. And so as of this moment, they've only postponed the one game with Nashville. When I think about the Canes, I think about and players who are on that roster fringe. It's kind of just like Nino and Slavin that I think of. And I think if you're, you know, in a super tight matchup, I would be a little bit quicker to pull the trigger if those were the bottom guys on my roster. But I don't know. What do you think? Is Nino a hold at this point?
Yeah, it's tough to say. I mean, he's got that great position. So if you can survive the week, I would hold on to him. You know, the upshot here is that you're going to have weeks later in the season where they're going to try to make up these games, right? We're going to try to not end the season with teams with unbalanced numbers of games. So they got to be made up somewhere. And I think the hope is going to be, you know, you can hopefully dominate some of those weeks if you can survive the lean weeks where you might have those players not eligible.
And I think that the main thing that I'm trying to keep in mind here is that I'm going to wait until the NHL announces what's happening. I'm not going to try and guess that games are going to be canceled or assume that they will be. I'm going to wait it out in most cases, unless, you know, I'm in a do or die matchup and I need to move on from players who are pretty recyclable through the waiver wire.
Yeah, I think that's solid advice. I think we should preach caution and patience. And wait until you've got firm information. We don't want to fly off the handle. Think about anybody who dropped Evander Kane because they heard some bad news early in the season, right? If you are making these quick decisions without putting full thought into it, you could find yourself in an unfortunate situation.
Yeah, and I think that I don't know if I feel like this is something that we say every year, but it feels like this year is particularly bad for people jumping to conclusions and freaking out like instantly. I'm seeing a lot of questions about players who you need to relax on. People like Kevin Fiala, who's, I believe, second in the league in shot attempts or was before tonight's slate of games. These are players who you drafted because they're good. Calm down, take a deep breath. It's going to be okay. One player who I'm not worried about a few games into the season, he's in the middle of his third game right now. Jack Hughes has 5 points. That's just so far tonight in 3 games. He is flying out there. As a Rangers fan, Lewis, it pains me to say that Jack Hughes has arrived.
Yeah, I think you are enjoying yourself if you were able to get him at a discount because he didn't have such a successful season last year. This is a great opportunity for you to sit back and enjoy that discounted production from Jack Hughes.
Yeah, I don't really have anything else to say about it. The Devils seem to be pretty good. Mackenzie Blackwood is absolutely destroying it for us in our fantasy hockey trades invitational league that we're in against a number of other fantasy hockey Twitter accounts. Yeah, shouts out Mackenzie Blackwood. He seems like a guy who's going to be what we thought a best case Matt Murray situation might be in Ottawa, where it was like, maybe it's not a great team, but he's good enough that he's going to put up volume numbers. I'm very, very thrilled to have some Mac Black stock.
Yeah, definitely. How about another guy that we can talk about who has even added to his impressive resume that we had listed that said we have to talk about this guy for the show because he's scored tonight, late breaking information. As always, Elon likes to say, love to get an update from a game that's already over. But Bobby Ryan, we had him down in his 3 goals in his first 2 games. He's up to 4 goals now in his first 3 games. You make anything out of this?
Lewis, I so rarely jump on the guys who I don't believe in, but I'm in a very deep dynasty league, and I was just looking at the waiver wire before opening night, and it's just like no one with offensive upside. But Bobby Ryan on power play 1 in Detroit is just, you know, why not give him a shot? He had a pretty good end to the season last year. I somehow have benefited from all 4 Bobby Ryan goals, and I feel like the luckiest person in the world. I feel like I hit on, I don't know, what do people hit on? Do you gamble?
Well, my issue is that I would gamble too hard if I got involved, so I try to stay away. You know, I get obsessed enough with my leagues where the only thing at stake is bragging, right? So I do try to avoid. I like to play some daily fantasy sometimes, but yeah, no, I don't have the vernacular to equip you to finish this statement that you're on.
Oh, well, Bobby Ryan, 4 goals in his first 3 games. He is the most added player on Yahoo today, even before he scored another goal tonight. He's playing on the second line in Detroit, which I don't know if you saw this. The lines got mixed up today. Mantha and Larkin have been split up. It's Larkin with Namestnikov and Zadina, then Glendening, Bertuzzi, and Bromi, a player whose name I do not know how to pronounce. Bobby Ryan's playing with Mantha and Rasmussen. Are we buying Bobby Ryan, Lewis?
He's putting up the results and it's so tough, but I want to say no. You know, at least we don't have full information on tonight's game, but he had 12 minutes in his first game back. He had 14 minutes in his last game. You know, he's only getting 35% of the power play time on ice. As of, you know, before today's game, he was shooting 75%. Those 3 goals came on 4 shots. No, I don't think he can keep doing it this way, but as you said, you know, he's getting quality opportunity, so you might as well ride it while it's hot. I don't know.
Is he getting quality opportunity, though? I don't think he is. I think he's just incredibly hot to start the year. He's on the second line in Detroit. Who would tell you that that's a good line to be on?
Well, I don't think it's too bad if you're lining up with Mantha. Obviously, Mantha's a quality player, but I see your point. You know, anything but the absolute tip-top of deployment in Detroit is not going to be super appealing. If this is a guy that is interesting to you and that you want to pick up, you know, go for it, I think, but you got to be ready to ditch him at the slightest sign of the other shoe dropping on this ridiculous pace he's at right now.
Yeah, it's got to be a deep league for sure. Like, do not pick up Bobby Ryan in like a 10 or 12 team league, dear God. But if you're in like a super deep 14 or 16 team league, I could understand riding the hot hand right now.
Definitely.
Moving on to Columbus, the team that played Detroit Monday afternoon, we have to talk Pierre-Luc Dubois. A lot has been made about Dubois having requested a trade in the offseason. He played 18 and a half minutes in game one, that went down in game two, and then it went down again in game three, including him being stuck to the bench for, I think it was a 6 or 7 minute stretch in that matinee game on Monday. Are we worried about Pierre-Luc Dubois? Is he going to get traded? Like, where are we? Where is our head on Pierre-Luc Dubois?
Well, I really like to avoid being in the prediction business about who is going to get traded where and how that might affect value. It never seems to pay off. And more frequently than not, it seems like the rumors move much faster than any of the actual decision making. So I'm going to stay away from that. But what I am concerned about is that declining ice time. We saw him play 18 minutes and 30 seconds in his first game, lost a minute in his second game, and was down to 15 minutes and 3 seconds in the third game, the one that you just mentioned, where he spent some time stapled to the bench. That's obviously not what you want to see, especially if it seems like things are rocky, potentially between player and coach or player and management. He was able to get on the scoreboard and put forth his highest number of shots in that 15-minute game, so maybe he was playing with a bit of a chip on his shoulder. But yeah, I'm definitely worried about decreased opportunity for PLD. But at the same time, he's a quality player, and if you drafted him, I think you got to ride it out and see if he does end up getting traded or else, you know, makes nice with the Blue Jackets and starts to get those opportunities back. I don't think it's time to, you know, if PLD was dropped in my league today in Cupful, I'd be spending a hefty chunk of my remaining fab to be able to pick him up.
I definitely agree with you that I would not be selling Pierre-Luc Dubois right now. His value is too low, and he's too good of a player. I actually think that the declining ice time doesn't really worry me so much because it's such a small sample. Like, if I see 2 or 3 games of him playing beneath 16 minutes, I start to get worried because Columbus doesn't have anyone who should be playing above him, and that becomes a concern. In a single game, though, you know, there are going to be wild swings in single games. So I could look past that, assuming that he does start to turn it around. And we did see Columbus start to turn it around a little bit. 2 points for Oliver Bjorkstrand on Monday night. So for me right now, I'm actually not particularly concerned about PLD, but maybe it's just because I'm not committed. I don't have him anywhere. And so it's a little bit easier for me to kind of shrug my shoulders and say I'd let it ride.
And I think he kind of reminds me of a couple other people that we're going to talk about today that maybe we're a little nervous about because things aren't going so great at the moment, but that the player is too valuable in and of themselves to let them go for nothing.
All right, Lewis, I want to burn through 3 more forwards before we move on here. I'm going to start in St. Louis. Jordan Kyrou, 2 points playing with Shen and Schwartz last night. Looked really good. That second goal was a beauty snipe. He kept his spot on that second line in practice on Tuesday. Are you considering Jordan Kyrou a streamable player, a rosterable player?
Yeah, I think he's definitely streamable right now. Let's hold off on rosterable until we see him to continue to produce. But what I really liked seeing from that line was that they really carried the play. They had 76% of the shot attempt share in their most recent game, and I think that's what the coaches like to see. I think that's why he earned another game in that spot. So I think that's a nice placement for Kyrou at even strength. And, you know, if you are looking, again, if you're in a league where a Bobby Ryan is interesting to you, Kyrou might be a player who is not overachieving quite as hard, but maybe can also be productive for you in a similar vein with maybe some limited minutes in terms of getting to see not a ton of the power play time, but certainly interesting at even strength.
Yeah, I really don't mind a lot of the players in St. Louis, especially if you're just looking for a stream on Wednesday night playing against presumably Martin Jones, even if it is Devin Dubnyk, like either of those Sharks goalies on Wednesday night. And then they get a back-to-back against Los Angeles later on this week. So if you're looking for Robert Thomas or Jordan Kyrou, I think either one is streamable this week, and you're going to reassess basically if the lines get swapped around quickly. A player who just came back to his team, Kasperi Kapanen, with his first game in Pittsburgh tonight, and he had an assist in the first period on a goal by Teddy Bluger. Are you interested in Kasperi Kapanen?
So that deployment doesn't scream super exciting to me with Sevier and Bluger. At the same time, Bluger has been outstanding tonight. Anyone who randomly has him on their roster has to be thrilled with his production so far, and the game's not over yet, so who knows, there may be more to come. I would place him below the Bobby Ryans and Jordan Kyrous of the world as of right now, but I would certainly keep an eye on him as someone who probably does have the potential to move up the lineup if Zucker or Rust maybe slow down a little. A chance for Kapanen in that top six would be really appealing.
I think the spot that actually he's probably the heir apparent for, and you probably just forgot about him, is Evan Rodriguez on that first line with Crosby. Like, a lot of people earmarked him for that spot in the preseason, and yeah, you might want to sit on him just because he is interesting on Crosby's wing, but otherwise, I would keep him on the watch list, and if you see him in practice get up there, then maybe you can make a quick grab of it.
Yes, great point. I, like probably a lot of fantasy owners, have completely forgotten about Evan Rodriguez. But absolutely, that's the guy you want to watch for, potentially, for that captain spot. And I would love to see him get a shot there.
One more for us here. Carter Verhaeghe in Florida. Top line with Barkov and Duclair. Power play 2. He has 2 goals through 40 minutes tonight and an assist in his first game. So that's 3 points in 2 games. Are you interested in Carter Verhaeghe?
So right now, I would put Verhaeghe ahead of Kyrou and ahead of, actually, yeah, I like him over all of these guys so far in terms of what have we talked about, Kyrou, Kapanen, and Ryan. I would take him before any of those guys just because that opportunity to play with Barkov looks really good. Duclair, I know, has maybe faded. Some of the shine has come off a little bit for him in Florida, but I still think a capable player. So, yeah, I think Verhaeghe is, among all of these guys, quite exciting and in the running maybe to be the best Carter in the season.
Even better than Carter Hutton? Little Keeping Carlson bit from Sunday night's episode here.
Absolutely. Now, yeah, we got to keep in mind the real Carter is Carter Hart, I think, but we've got our Jeffs and our Verhaeghes also to keep in mind.
I thought the real Carter was the friends we made along the way. Anyway, yeah, I actually agree with you. Carter Verhaeghe is very interesting to me here. I would like to see him shoot a little bit more. I mean, he has 4 shots tonight, 0 in the first game. So maybe that's a thing where the trend is going to start to go up. He has not. He was a rookie last year. He was about a shot a game, but he only played 9 minutes a game last year. In game 1 this year, he played 16 and a half minutes. So it'll be interesting to see where he ends up after game 2. So at the very least, I'd be throwing Verhaeghe on a watch list.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's move into the defense position here. We have a trio of ostensibly power play 1 for defensemen to talk about. And we are going to start with Florida. Why not, right? Keith Yandle almost held out of that first game, almost had the Iron Man streak broken. Everyone got super excited about Aaron Ekblad on the top power play, which I think is a good call, and he has stayed on that power play unit. But Keith Yandle, since the season has started, I believe just scored a goal. Yes, Keith Yandle has added a power play goal. He had a power play assist earlier tonight. 3 points for Keith Yandle in 2 games. Lewis, do we have any reason to think that Keith Yandle should still be on a waiver wire right now?
No, definitely not. Not only because he's obviously producing now in Florida and seems to have, you know, figured out whatever the previous issue was that was going on with him and, you know, the staff around him. But the fact that, you know, if he is being showcased for trade bait, that's a great situation for him, too. There's a number of teams that could use a player like him potentially to man that top power play, at least temporarily. I think that he makes for a really appealing choice, especially because he's just been so productive all of a sudden for Florida. You know, they're definitely increasing the value they're going to get back for him if that is the case.
So I definitely do buy that that there was a general that the general manager was trying to get Yandle out of town and trying to get rid of his cap hit. I do believe those rumors. And I agree with you right now that the value is getting higher after these 2 games. It's going to be tough to trade him because of that no trade clause. However, I think that as of tonight, you have to say that Keith Yandle is above a stream. I just think it's really important with a player like this who you probably drafted fairly early in the mid rounds of your drafts. You may need to stream him out again. Do not feel like you can't, that you have to hold on to him. Like, don't get sunk cost fallacy with Keith Yandle. If he's not on that top power play or if he goes cold up there, then he's not doing anything for you. He's lousy with peripherals. He's not going to score a bunch for you at even strength. Like, he's just going, his value is tied 100% to that top power play unit. So make sure that if he is on your roster, that he is not moved off of that top unit, because I do have some, I think it's reasonable to be afraid that that could happen just given where we were just 3 or 4 days ago.
Right. So as good as things have become in just the last couple of days, obviously if he cools off, it could be right back where we started. You don't want to get whiplash with this guy. So like we've advised throughout the episode, patience, clarity of thought, you know, really this is a time to weigh your moves carefully. You know, I know we talked about kind of the importance of being agile and quick on your feet this season because things are changing so rapidly. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that we are jumping the gun and making moves quicker than we need to. But yeah, I think with we're sort of advising the opposite here, is that don't be afraid to make a move if you need to with Yandle if he cools off.
And the other thing, I think, is to temper your expectations because he's scoring all these goals on the Chicago Blackhawks.
Right. And so we've seen that just about everybody has had some success there. Yeah, so Lankinen may be enduring some of those first night jitters here, although at least Chicago is giving him some run support here, helping him out on his end.
Lankinen is lacking in goaltending skill tonight. I have no idea what quality of player he is. He might be very good.
Well, he's basically playing Sergei Bobrovsky to a draw. Take from that what you will.
Very little. Over in New York, my favorite boys, the Rangers. Tony DeAngelo misses another game. Healthy scratched in back-to-back games. Of course, the first healthy scratch was due to a stupid penalty he took in the Rangers' first game of the season when they were blown out and shut out by the Islanders. And then, while he's healthy scratched, the Rangers reverse the field. They blow out the Islanders and shut them out. So, of course, David Quinn, being the man of mystery that he is, must keep the same line on a shutout night. Can't possibly change things. That would be bad juju. And Tony DeAngelo misses a second night in a row. Lewis, people are freaking out about Tony DeAngelo. I need to know, do you think that they are right to be concerned about him?
So I think they are right to be concerned. I don't think that they are right to panic.
What is the difference?
So let me explain what I mean. You know, Fox obviously has taken that top power play role right now. He's got a couple assists in the game today. They're losing to the Devils as we record this, so keep that in mind. We haven't seen the end of this battle to see who becomes the power play one quarterback. It is far from settled. I don't think that we should be jumping in to declare a win for Fox, and that TDA, because he sat out a couple games, is going to be done. You know, the Rangers want to compete. They're going to put whoever gives them the best possibility of winning in the lineup. And I think we should wait until we see what the result is after he's served these couple games. He may come back very fired up and ready to go. What I am advocating for is patience with this while we wait for some more time to see how this power play situation shakes out. I, you know, built some insurance in. Tony DeAngelo was the first defenseman that I picked up in the Cupful auction, but I hedged my bets a little bit by picking up Fox too. So I'm holding on to both of them right now while we wait for this to sort of sort itself out. And I think it may be a while, if it even gets sorted out this season, in a clear number one, number two sort of setup. So I am prepared to wait a little while on this. He was so successful last year. I don't think we can pretend that we didn't have him. He was, you know, top 10 in the league in defenseman points. So I don't think it's time to just toss him to the curb because he's had this spat early on and obviously took that terrible penalty. I think we give him some time to try and get his feet under him and see what happens before we're going to jump off the Tony DeAngelo train. Would you be bidding on him if he was dropped in Cupful?
I think I would, but I don't think I would spend a ton of money. And the specific reason is that he doesn't have any floor, right? Like, if he's not on the top power play, he's not going to get you any peripherals. And so he's basically a stream, like, he's waiver wire material at that point. I do need to point out, though, Lewis, he's not just top 10 in power play points last year. He was number 4, ahead of Quinn Hughes, ahead of Cale Makar. Yes, he played more games than Makar. Ahead of Torrey Krug, ahead of Shea Theodore, ahead of Brent Burns. Anthony DeAngelo had an incredible season last year. Folks, buckle in. This is me talking about the Rangers, so of course I'm going to go long here or say I have a million thoughts in the world, and many of them are exacerbated by the fact that Elon picked at them for a while in our group chat earlier tonight. Basically, I think you do have to hold Tony DeAngelo because the ceiling is so high. Now, if you're in a shallower league and there are other power play one defensemen on the wire, I'm thinking of like Erasmus Anderson. I could consider dropping Tony DeAngelo for Erasmus Anderson, who appears to be the real deal in Calgary on a power play that's firing on all cylinders, and he looks really good over there. But there, if you're in a deeper league, a 12 or 14 or a 14 team league, and you're choosing between Tony D'Angelo and whoever the dregs are on the waiver wire, I don't know, like let's say a Devon Taves or a Damon Severson or even a Philip Hronek, give me Tony D'Angelo above that whole tier of player. But I think what people are kind of missing here is that he's not scratched because they don't want him on the top power play unit. And Adam Fox isn't on the top power play unit because they necessarily want him there over Tony D'Angelo. If you listen to everything that David Quinn has said this year, he wants to keep that top unit from last year together, or at the very least give them a shot to recapture that value they had last year as a top 10 unit. He said multiple times, if you have a top 10 unit and you bring all those guys back, why would you not give them a chance to play together? They've had one game together so far. He wants them to get another shot. And he's put on hold other changes on that top unit. For example, he's talked about putting Buchnevich, who's had a great start to the season, in the Ryan Strome spot. But he's holding off because he wants to see how the top unit looks together. And so that's why I would be holding Tony D'Angelo right now. Having said all that, Adam Fox is the truth. He is an incredible player. He reminds me, actually, this is very much to me a Charlie McAvoy, Matt Grzelcyk situation, where you have a Charlie McAvoy is the Adam Fox that I'm talking about. Probably a better player. Obviously, the Rangers homer in me is popping out by comparing the two. But, you know, Adam Fox is an incredible player and looks like a very solid number one defenseman already. And I think what's happening is that their coaches don't want to burn them out playing them 30-plus minutes a game in all situations. They need to come off at some point. You have a capable offensive player in Matt Grzelcyk. You have a capable offensive player in Tony D'Angelo. In Tony D'Angelo, you also have a player who can't play defense. You can't put him on the penalty kill. So it makes a lot of sense just in the way of spreading out minutes that you can put Tony D'Angelo on the top power play unit. They're going to be a good unit. He's able to keep up with those four forwards and obviously produce at a high level like he did last year. Now his rate stats were out of whack. His shooting percentage was crazy. I don't think those numbers, like that ceiling is sustainable, but I do think his floor is very high if he's on that top power play unit. And so it does make sense to me that they would, despite how well Fox is doing, still give Tony D'Angelo another shot on the top unit when he comes back. And that's why I'm still holding, because he will get another shot there. I don't necessarily think he holds it, because I think Adam Fox is incredible, and I think he's obviously performing really well on that unit, but I do think that he'll get another look.
Yeah, that very comprehensive. I can tell you've thought about it quite a lot. I'm glad we came to the same conclusion. And you're right. I think I'm much more ready to potentially cut bait with Tony D'Angelo after he gets his second time around and potentially gets replaced than I am this early in the season after just a few games.
Well, and I honestly think best case scenario for you is that Adam Fox is the top line guy, because he does have peripherals. He can be a complete defenseman who's going to put up incredible numbers for you if he gets that top unit, if he gets full time on the top unit. Whereas Tony D'Angelo is a guy, if he's not on there, you can stream him right out. So you're kind of in a situation where you have two goaltenders, right? The ceiling's not there because you don't have two starters, you just have a tandem. If you have, that's kind of where you're at with having Tony D'Angelo and Adam Fox. The best case scenario would be that you could drop D'Angelo because Fox is still getting, you know, that incredible floor that he's showing right now, but now he's also getting the offensive looks. So that would be, if I were you, I would be really hoping that Adam Fox can win that spot and you can stream out TDA.
Well, I feel similarly. I'd love to have that spot open, but in the meantime, I'm hanging in there with both of them, and we'll see how it progresses through the season.
One more defenseman we have to talk about tonight, Josh Morrissey, power play one defenseman. They mentioned him briefly on Keeping Carlson's Sunday show because he popped up on that top power play. We all thought this was Neil Pionk's job to lose, and seemingly, despite not losing it, Josh Morrissey took over from Pionk after that incredible year he had last year. We did have a very interesting comment from Mason in the patron-only Discord group. Mason pointed out that it looks like the reason that they have Morrissey on the top unit is handedness. Normally, the power play runs through Laine and Pionk shots, with Wheeler feeding them, so Pionk being right-handed fits that perfectly. With Laine out, they completely change the power play setup, and they don't need that right-handed defenseman. This is I'm quoting directly from our patron Mason. I really appreciated that insight. I guess I'm wondering, are you buying Josh Morrissey as the new de facto power play one defenseman, or do you think Mason's right? Do you think when Laine comes back, it's stream out Morrissey and move back onto Pionk?
Well, I'm certainly no expert in the handedness debate. You know, that is a bit above my pay grade, I suppose. Morrissey is another case where I think you ride it while it lasts. You know, if he is going to get eventually taken off that first power play, just watch game day lines and see when that takes place. Because until that happens, he's playing monster minutes. He had over 25 minutes in his most recent full game before this recording. And stuff the stat sheet with 3 shots, 4 hits, and 2 blocks. He's got a couple shots and hits tonight as well. He spent over 6 minutes on the power play in that most recent game as well. So if things are going to change for Morrissey, they haven't happened yet. So keep an eye on when Laine is coming back, when he's coming back. Check out how they are deploying those lines to see if this handedness issue really is the reason why we're seeing this change in power play quarterback. Yeah, I think for now, riding Morrissey is the smart thing to do. Why not? If he's getting all those minutes, I think that makes him quite appealing. This is just a side note, but I was thinking the other day, I feel like we should call them a power play point guard. I feel like the role is much more point guardy than it is quarterbacky, but that's just something I was thinking about while I was watching some Michigan basketball the other day.
Something I'm thinking about while watching the patron-only Discord group is Josh Morrissey just scored a power play goal.
Oh, you love to see it.
You
what
truly
timing.
Do. Lewis, we own Josh Morrissey. We got him off waivers just in time for his 5-game week in our joint league, and this rocks.
Oh, how delightful.
I would agree with you, though. Josh Morrissey is a player that I think you can stream him out in shallow leagues the moment he's not on power play one. But in deeper leagues, he maintains some value because he's going to be on a second power play unit with Nick Ehlers, and he does put up blocks. So he's an okay player in deeper leagues, but not something special the way that he is right now. Lewis, we've been going for a while, longer than usual, but we do have a few goaltenders I think we need to talk about real quick. In Pittsburgh, it doesn't matter who they put in net. Casey DeSmith, Tristan Jarry, they've both been blown up at this point. What are we doing here, Lewis? Who do you trust? Who is the goalie in Pittsburgh?
Well, first off, I think we've spent a couple seasons kind of waiting for the bottom to fall out of that Pittsburgh defense, and it's kind of been hanging in there. It's almost the Wile E. Coyote where you run off the cliff and your feet keep moving for a while and you hang out there. But I think he just held up the help sign and maybe is falling down into the canyon here this season, at least in the early going. We'll see if they can fix things up a little bit. It, you know, as a Tristan Jarry owner, I'm not sad to see all of these weak offerings from Casey DeSmith.
I'd say one weak offering. He was fine the other night.
He was all right. He was under 900.
But he got the win, and Roto World said he was stellar.
Well, okay. Thank you, Roto World. Sometimes the adjectives from Roto World, I think, are a little bit questionable. At any rate, yeah, I think that both of these goalies are of concern. It sounds clear that they're going to give Jarry another shot at grabbing that starter's position. They said they were going to give him a few games off. They were going to let him work with the goalies coach and get reset, was the quote. What that means exactly, I think, is a bit of a mystery. But what I am inferring from it, reading between the lines, is that he's going to get another shot to be that number one or at least a 1A here coming up. So if you are a Jarry owner and there's not anything else appealing out on the waiver wire, maybe you're thinking about hanging in there a little while and see if he can't right the ship a little bit and maybe post some 900 or over save percentage games here. So he could be of a benefit to your team.
I am starting to think, though, that I feel a little bit like Elon does about Detroit with Greiss and Bernier. Elon's convinced that it's a tandem there. I'm not as convinced that it's a tandem in Pittsburgh, but I definitely don't think that Jim Sullivan is attached to either goalie. I think that it's a hot hand situation, and it's up to one of them to win the net. And so far, neither of them has done it. I think it's very possible that Pittsburgh just is not a good place to be playing goalie, though, and that this might be a situation to avoid rather than, you know, recent years where you had hoped that you might be able to get the Pittsburgh, you know, the goaltender playing behind Crosby and Malkin.
Yeah, I'm definitely not looking to buy low on either of those goalies. No. If I didn't own them already.
Last player here on our list, Linus Ullmark missed last night's game or Monday night's game suddenly with some personal issues. And then there was a report that he would potentially be opting out of the season. Now, Tuesday, he did wind up skating, and then he missed again the night, and then he missed Tuesday night's game again. Carter Hutton played in both, and then it appears that Carter Hutton left tonight's game early. I don't have any information on what's going on with Hutton, so I don't want to speculate too wildly, but are you freaking out about Ullmark? Is there reason for concern here?
I was heartened that he came back and was participating in practice today, which makes me think that whatever is going on is hopefully not too great a concern. I think it's a little worrisome, certainly missing a couple games in the middle of the week, or I suppose he only missed one. I think it is a little bit concerning, but it's not like he was clearly injured. Just like we've recommended in many cases so far, I think you got to be patient and wait to find out a little more information here before you make your decision. And I am an Ullmark owner, so all of my goalies are coming up here in the concern area, but I'm not doing anything hasty with Ullmark yet. Luckily, I was able to stash him because he was considered to be out. I'll leave him there for the time being and see how things progress.
I'm in a weekly lock league, and I started Linus Ullmark, and a few hours later, I found out that that was a horrible decision. So isn't that fun?
Well, here's hoping he's going to make it back on the other side. And quick Mackenzie Blackwood update. The Rangers have fired 50 shots on him this game.
And they're going to score the game tying goal here. I'm putting it out into the universe. So tomorrow when I wake up, everyone can tell me what a genius I was. Lewis, why don't you sign us out of here?
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us. We so appreciate it. We are very excited to have our new home with Blue Wire. Also worth mentioning, we have a new home on the Twitter machine. Please follow us at ShortShiftsKK. We'll be answering your questions there, entertaining you in any variety of ways. Looking forward to seeing you there. Pat Roach with the intro music as well. Looking forward to seeing you later in the week. And until then, play smart and keep your shifts short.